Welcome to another episode of Undisciplined. Undisciplined is a collaboration between the African and African American Studies program at the University of Arkansas and KUAF.
We'll be bringing you some of the best of what's happening in academia, taking it outside of the ivory towers, connecting it to what's buzzing in popular culture, and give you our take.
Taking the undisciplined approach of Africana studies outside of the classroom, into the community, and onto the airwaves, we invite you to share in research, ideas, movements of scholars and students, and members of Africa and the diaspora. I am your host, Dr. Karee Banton.
And I'm your co-host, Dr. Carrie Nisia Connor.
Let's get undisciplined! Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another season of Undisciplined.
Welcome.
As you know, I am Dr. Karee Banton.
And I'm Dr. Carrie Nisia Elizabeth.
All right. Wonderful. So as you know, I am the chair of the history department. I am jointly hired in history and African and African American studies with expertise in Black freedom movements, migrations, abolition, emancipation, colonization, and most of all, race. Issues of race. So those are my expertise. So I do a lot of research around those kinds of issues.
And we need it. Because your history block is hot, right?
And you know, in this day and age where we can't go through the world without really thinking about those kinds of questions.
For sure. Where
history and those kinds of issues are so charged.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen the banning of certain books, mm-hmm. right? How people's identities are thought about.
Right.
That's an everyday question. Yeah. How you walk out the door every day mm-hmm. as a person of color, what's one of the, you know, primary consideration that they think about, how that's inflected by race.
Right.
You know, so this is important, right?
Indeed.
So this is certainly, you know, why we consider this a must listen.
Indeed. We're building community off that every day, right?
Absolutely. You will come to understand why race is considered, why it's taken up so often in mm-hmm. different movements, why it seems to be never settled.
Right.
You know?
And much argued about.
Yes. You know, like, you know, why are they bringing up slavery again?
Right.
Right?
Because it's still unaddressed.
Yes. You know? So that those are my areas of expertise.
Yes.
And,
Thank you for your work.
We can help you. We can all have a conversation about those things mm-hmm. that goes on in the academy, that people are doing in the community that
yeah.
might not be as visible. We want you to have access to that.
Yes. In a real and alive way, conversational way, you know, one that is, you know, accessible to everybody. You know, everyone has a stake in this has some skin in the game, essentially.
Yeah.
And so we need you to bring your skin to the game.
Exactly.
And participate.
For better or for worse.
For
we
better.
Have to live with each other.
My mama used to say, it takes all of us to live in this world.
Exactly.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I am teaching assistant professor of social studies. And so what that means is I teach teachers how to teach social studies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you're discussing about race and all of our social identities that make us who we are and who we affiliate with, you know, how we are welcoming teachers and teaching them to welcome their students to their schools
mm-hmm.
And not just in classroom environment and saying you belong here, mm-hmm. but showing them how they belong in their curriculum, in their lesson planning, around the classroom, and in their instruction, teaching in a way that that nurtures multiple intelligences. So you're going to get a perspective
from
me.
I love that idea about multiple intelligences.
Yes. That's differentiation to me. That is, you know, finding multiple ways to answer the same question and meeting multiple needs of multiple students at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking and inviting these guests, I'm going to be thinking through, okay, so what implication does this topic and this scholar have on how we should teach our students and how we should greet them in the classroom?
Wonderful. That is so needed. I'm sure people might not reflect on that, but how much hours per day do students spend at school?
8, and teachers spend at least 10 to 12.
You know? And so you, when all of us as human beings think about, you know, what led to our success, mm-hmm. I think more often than not, it's so connected to a teacher. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So how that teacher gets oriented into that profession is so very important, right?
Yes.
The kinds of topics that they have exposure to, mm-hmm. the kinds of different students that for better or worse, they mm-hmm. will meet. And if they don't have the appropriate tools to handle those students, you know, it might not go well for that student.
For that student, for their peers, for that teacher, for that school, for their community, for the society at large. Like, education, I tell people every day, it's a luxury for some and it's life or death for others.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, whole communities depend on education to escape poverty, to mm-hmm. get out of some certain social situations. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
just to free your mind
and the rest will follow.
Amen.
So I will be bringing that expertise, and Dr. Karen is here, will be bringing that perspective to the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And as you all know, our podcast is called Undisciplined.
Undisciplined.
That's right. It's not, is it indiscipline? Mm-mm, undisciplined. It's multidiscipline. Right? And I think I may have told the story before, but, you know, In the previous season, as I was recording the podcast, I had gotten Dr. Trish Starks, and we were recording a podcast about bad medicine, how race affects medicine. And I had just gotten off a flight, and I just sat down in the airport and started recording the podcast. The airport folks, you know, I didn't see the signs that recording wasn't allowed in that area, and they totally detained me. And they were like, so you're recording a podcast? Because I was shushing them to be like, be quiet, I'm recording a podcast right now. And they were like, what is the name of this podcast? And I was like, Undisciplined. And I was just getting into more trouble because I was suspecting that they were thinking that I was like a prankster or one of those folks that be trying to record things in places that are out of bounds. But I had to like then step back and explain, like, no, what I study is from a multidisciplinary perspective. As a historian, I'm in the discipline of history, but in African and African American studies, it's really undisciplined because you're bringing multiple disciplines.
Right.
History, education, law, art, economics, music.
Right.
All of those disciplines. So you're really undisciplined. And we also mean undisciplined in another kind of way too, because we want to answer questions.
Right.
Right? We don't care to be defined by some of the rules and the methods that have been set out for us by society.
Right. Well, some like the people in the airport, you know, to hear the word undisciplined and they say, oh, well, this person doesn't have any discipline. And that idea offends our nature, right? Because we're called to believe that discipline is how we order society and gives us success and gives us that peace that we're looking for. But really what we're talking about with getting undisciplined is trying to unmask some of the ways that we have been taught to engage in society and to engage free thinking about our history and our connections with one another. And because we have been disciplined to see a limited perspective of our history and of our teaching and of our students, we have to then bring in those bring in those perspectives that have been excluded or marginalized or pushed to the side, and become undisciplined and unlearn those rules that have taught us incorrectly what we know today to be true about what it is to be American or what it means to be a global citizen. So we're getting undisciplined in learning these new perspectives.
Absolutely. You know, we have been, you know, whether you grew up in a certain kind of a mindset because of the community that you were in, right? Or your household, how your parent taught you, or the work that you do, right? Or, you know, maybe what you consider to be your limit. Undisciplined breaks all of that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so it's a little bit about mindset too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit about mindset, about how you, you know how they say that the folks who were the most obedient or followed everything in high school, like, they turned out to be like the conformers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they never challenged, you know, the conventions. What we're suggesting is that undiscipline is really critical thinking.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we encourage in our classes. We're mm-hmm. training students to do that. And we are using this podcast to take that format. So we are just really putting so much of what we try to do in the classroom, what we try to introduce our students to, what we do in our own work when we have a question mm-hmm. in our research.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Zora Neale Hurston has this quote. She says, there's two things everybody got to find out for themselves. They got to find out about love, and they got to find out about living. Now, love is like the sea. It's a moving thing, and it's different on every shore. And living, well, there are years that ask questions and years that answer. And I love that quote because, one, it helps me find some solace when I'm like, is this a year that's asking questions, or this is this a year for me that answers those questions that I have? And so, but just the encouragement to see life and to see us continuing to question the things that we've been taught and seek new answers and seek new perspectives about what we had previously left unexamined.
Because at the end of the day, that's what we do as faculty. That's mm-hmm. why faculty is, you know, a part of so much of the innovation that yeah. happens, because you have to be willing
mm-hmm.
to challenge certain convention, to think yes. outside of the box,
yes.
to tip your toe over to the dark side,
if you don't. There's so many consequences, right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. To stay inside the box, that's, mm-hmm. you know, comfort is not...
Mm-hmm.
Comfort is not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort, to stay in your comfort zone.
Is it comfort? No. Familiarity breeds
contempt. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so, you know, we are bringing that approach.
Yeah.
You know, many of you all, you went to college, you studied sociology. There's a certain methodology that sociology mm-hmm. uses. English uses a certain methodology, a certain citation. You know, history does the same. We are undisciplined because we're trying to not only answer questions, we're trying to get you that multidisciplinary approach with the people who we'll mm-hmm. be talking to. You know, who will be addressing issues that mm-hmm. affects our everyday life.
And we need you, and we want you to participate and add your voice, your texture to the story, you know?
Yes.
Like, where our answer is just one interpretation, one orientation to the answer, you know? And so the participation of the community in this conversation about history and education is what we need to progress forward to really be a country of innovation, to be a superpower. We have to be willing to come to the table of conversation.
Absolutely. So, Carnicio, who is this podcast for? Who is that you were just talking about?
Hey, it's for any and everybody who has a stake in education or is concerned about the future of education. Anybody who wants to challenge norms that they have been taught and internalized. Anyone who wants to participate in that conversation.
It's for the people arguing on the internet.
It's for the people.
It's for the people arguing on the internet.
We can argue, but we can love each other afterward, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want you to get access to, you know.
We're just starting the conversation.
Yeah. The sources, the information, you know. So whether you are a professor or a student or a person, the community, you know, or at your job, this podcast
There's
is
no
for
you. No certain
level
of education. No specific social identity or background. You just have to have a care and concern and a curiosity to learn. You
curiosity.
Hear me over here rapping?
Oh, yeah.
Greatest rapper alive, they say.
Oh, no, not the goat. So the podcast is for you. We want to be in conversation with you. This is a communiversity. We want
the university.
Oh, yeah. We want the university to be in conversation with the community.
This is
right?
your space.
We've been apart for too long.
We missed you.
We've been apart too long.
And I think that's really why I'm very passionate about it, is because I don't want to be siloed off in people to interpret me as being limited to the grounds of the university. No, I do what I do at the university because I care so much about the community that is here, where I can have a profound impact on a large number of people that will then go impact another large number of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we need to break down that wall, that ivory tower.
For sure.
We want to bring what's happening in the university to the community, and we want to bring what's happening in the community to the university as well, right? We don't want to have separate lives because university professors are studying what's in the community. Mm-hmm. So if we're not having one big discussion, you know, it's going to lead to the kinds of fragmentation that we're seeing in our society today.
Yeah, and so the ivory tower is this idea that the university is an institution that is up high and far away from far removed from those it serves and receives its information from, and that it's pristine and ivory and made out of this, you know, very prestigious material. And so in comparison to everything and everyone else, it has something more to offer. And without the community, the ivory tower would not be a tower. Mm-hmm. It would not have its prestige. And so therefore, we are ivory because the people are ivory, because they are precious and we are precious as a community. And so reestablishing that connection to me is just so important.
Oh, it's extremely important. And I think the university is having a moment. Universities around the U.S., you know, have been having moments of self-reflection and self-awareness.
I love that for us.
Absolutely. There's been universities who have been studying themselves.
Really?
There's something called critical university studies.
Okay.
Oh, yes. You know, the folks are moving.
And discipline me.
Oh, for sure. So, you know, remember all those Ivy Leagues, the Yales and the Harvards? Oh, you know, so many of them were built on with slave money.
Yeah.
You know, they've been studying. They've been commissioning studies about that. And students have been reflecting on that.
Yeah.
And even us here in the South, too. Our university was built during Reconstruction. What does that mean for this community? Whose land was this built on? You know, things like that. So those are all conversation, not just for the university, it's for the community.
Right.
We're all in this together.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we wanna, you know, bring back the love between us.
So write into us. If you have questions, if you have topics that you want to discuss.
Yes.
You know, if you heard us say something, or you heard maybe one of our guests say something that you wanted to elaborate on, or you want us to have a, you know, new conversation about, get in touch with us.
How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you
know,
I was waiting for that. No. So, I call myself the wordy professor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, professors.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, professors are supposed to be very, you know, concise and clear, right? You know, but I am a human. I'm a human professor. I am not AI, okay?
So are you sure?
No.
If we get to the singularity and I found out that you were a robot, do you want me to tell you?
Yes. I think so.
Man fuses his consciousness with machines.
I would have like a midlife crisis. I thought I was real. But that's the point of undiscipline, right?
Yeah.
Red pill, blue pill, which one? Yeah. So, you know, but when I'm nervous and when I'm just starting a class, like, I can be very wordy. You know, it could be hard for me to kind of get to the point that I want to get to because I'm like, you know, just trying to allow all of, you know, the wisdom to come forth. And, you know, I'm trying to regulate myself. And
right.
So I could be wordy. So to kind of admit that flaw and to kind of take back that power of like, you know what? Yeah, I can trust my wisdom is fine. You know, I could walk in nervous in some spaces, but once I get in there, baby, I'm going to start spitting. Okay.
Oh, ooh,
it's coming
okay,
through.
Busta Rhymes.
Look, then I got to get it. Then I got to go.
All right.
So you can hit me up on Instagram at the wordy professor. T-H-E wordy professor.
Oh, do you have a Twitter?
I do. It's called Unjaded Karma. Yeah, Unjaded Karma.
Okay. All right. Well, I like that.
How about you? How can I get in contact with you?
I am on the gram as well.
Hey.
At the Forgetful Historian.
Okay, the Forgetful Historian. Now tell us about it. Sit tight through this commercial break. We'll be right back.
I'm Denisha Simpson.
And I'm Joy McGowan.
And we are the co-host to the Resilient Black Women podcast. Our podcast is all about demystifying mental health for Black women, women of color, and women everywhere.
You can learn more about our work with our nonprofit and our podcast by visiting resilientblackwomen.org.
You can also listen to our podcast at KUAF.com or subscribe to our podcast on any streaming platform.
Welcome back.
So along the same lines as you, right, I've always kind of just thought about the kinds of issues people in certain disciplines, certain professions had to confront, right? Mm-hmm. Like that might affect their jobs. History is not about remembering, contrary to what a lot of people, might think. You know, you see the debates about, oh, are you going to take down those monuments? Like, sure, some historians might study monuments, but it's not that primary. The study is not about going to look at monuments all the time
Very niche.
Yeah. So, but if a historian was forgetful, what would that mean? Like, oh, War come before abolition.
Medea was general.
Did the civil rights movement happen in 1820? That would not be, good. Yeah. So I was just playing on that idea that were a historian to be forgetful, it would probably be hilarious, right?
So damaging to your credibility.
And very damaging to your career.
They put you on drunk history.
It's like,
she's forgetful. It's okay. But she's like, funny.
She thinks she's a comedian. Very corny. I've been writing this article about how people in various disciplines, whether you are I think I saw one time where they were doing some kind of a surgery on a person and they were playing, they had to play
the violin
so that the doctor could see certain functions, what that was going on.
In the brain,
That's crazy. Or brain doctors who've had tumors and could tell, their doctors how to perform on, if what kind of impediments, impairments might affect your job. And so that's what the forgetful historian. So that's me on the gram.
Okay.
On the Twitter, I'm at Diasporize, or is it X now? At Diasporize.
Spell that for us.
DIASPORISE.
Okay.
At Diasporize.
Bet.
Yes.
I was going to spell it with a Z, so I'm glad you came
through. To be honest, let me just check to make sure.
I like Z's.
Let me just make sure that I am not out here lying to the people about my...
I miss my unjaded karma on the Twitters, the X. No. I'm calling it Twitter in protest of X. Okay. Go back before it was sold to somebody so and so.
Oh wow. No, it's at Diasporize. DIASPORISE.
Awesome.
And on the X app. And I handle a lot of the professional questions and so on that you might have here. Well, let's have a dialogue.
Follow us, connect, reach out.
Yes.
We'll reach back.
Yes, 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 yes. And on Discipline is also on the gram as well. So we will also want you to follow on Discipline, right?
Indeed.
UNDISCIPLINED on Discipline. So we are here.
Yeah. Season 7.
Yes.
Ooh.
We are here. So what we finna give them?
We're about to give you a preview to season 7, what you're going to hear, some of the topics that we're going to be sharing and that you're going to be sharing with us, too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it.
Let's get on Discipline, folks.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about leadership, leadership is so important.
Because ain't nothing worse than bad leadership.
You can be in the nightmare if you have a bad leader at work.
Okay. Child. Nightmare on Elm Street. Getting on my nerves.
If you have a bad leader at work, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been also be thinking about the ways that we need to, how leadership is a high impact practice for students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we think about study abroad. We want students to do mm-hmm. research and give them the finding information yeah. and analyzing information skills.
There's so much pressure to be a good leader,
yeah.
isn't it?
You like, know, but it's a lot of work. To be a leader, what you know, what it takes to be a leader, mm-hmm. having empathy.
Yeah, for sure.
And we have seen some of these leaders out here.
Ain't got none. Ain't got none. Like, who raised you?
You have to have a mind for public service.
Yeah.
You know, and in certain level of investment for the public good.
Yeah.
You know, for those who are in your charge, mm-hmm. you know, a genuine care. Mm-hmm.
And
know?
A willingness to
difference
learn.
Difference between leader and manager.
Ooh. Ooh. Or a handler. Because don't be trying to handle me. I'm extra grown. Okay?
Extra grown. So there's a difference between a leader and a manager. Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be willing to learn, too. You know, like, because...
You have when to follow in you order have to lead. Follow.
Exactly. You know, when we're not willing to learn, when we come up pumped up, you know, puffed up by this information that we think that we have and these degrees we think we have,
yep.
then, you know, it becomes a lonely place. And we get so much anxiety built up in us because we know that there's so much that we don't know. And we think everybody looking at us knowing that there's so much that we don't know.
And if you have insecurities around that, it's going to, mm-hmm. you know.
So you got
to
ask the questions. You got to seek collaboration.
Yeah. We want to know from our audience.
Tell us.
Are they good leaders?
Yeah. Tell me what are the best.
What makes you a good leader, or what do you think are the qualities
yes.
of a good leader?
Yes.
You know, we want to hear that from you once we get into that episode.
And maybe share some of your stories about some of the bad leadership that you had. We kind of curious.
Look at you. You want the TT.
I mean, I want to know if you've been through what I've been through.
Oh.
Let the church say amen.
Well, let the church say amen, child.
So then we're going to follow up. Speaking of leadership, what's going on with teachers? Because they're the foremost leaders, right, of mm-hmm. our students and in their futures. They're shepherding engagement and shepherding where we're going in terms of innovation and learning in our country. So we're going to be talking about teachers and talking about what they're going through under this very contentious political system that is so involved in the schools.
Why are so many teachers quitting?
Because, like, there's so many rules already in school. And then there's more rules. That
I
make
want
the
you
job
to talk
harder.
The truth that God loves Karenicia.
Don't he?
I want you to talk the truth. What about that pay, though?
Man. You know, to be honest, like, I was making good money as a teacher. Now, granted, I was living paycheck to paycheck, but I think most people are.
I don't know.
And
if
I'm
that's
not
good.
Saying that we should be living paycheck to paycheck. But, you know, coming.
For people who are doing such a great
yeah.
service
oh,
for the
yeah.
nation,
yeah.
I don't know. When our guest comes, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out what's
going on.
Why they deserve
yeah.
more. And if they deserve more, we're willing to debate it.
Okay,
you know what we think, but we're willing to entertain opposing opinions.
And we want to hear
how
we
much you
hear
think
what
teachers
you
should make.
Think.
Not you,
$5 million,
please.
$5 million
Run,
a year.
Runneth me,
runneth
my money.
Me my money.
Runneth
Rihanna.
My money.
Word to Rihanna.
Awesome. Okay.
$5 million
in the streets. Shoot. Run
That's
my
what
money.
I think teachers should be making. So
yeah.
we want to hear, when we run that episode, we want to hear from you,
yeah.
you know, some of your stories about your favorite teachers,
yes.
you know, your views
ones.
Of what's going on in the teaching profession, mm-hmm. whether you're a professor, whether you're a high school teacher, elementary school teacher,
you got
whether
kids.
You're teaching your kids at home in homeschool.
You've been in school.
Yeah, yeah.
You quit school. Whatever it may be, if you care about schooling, just lock in and tell us what you think about that.
For sure. Then we're going to be talking about African, you know, some issues in African fiction.
Yeah.
We're going to be speaking with an author.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to get a little bit about African
Best
spirituality.
Summer. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I took a class, African spirituality in my undergrad, and it was just so eye-opening. And I was able to draw connections and understand the differences between my own spirituality and African spirituality. And it was just really amazing. So I'm really excited to have this author come and just talk about how that tension lives in a person through this story that he's written.
Absolutely. And I want to challenge the audience. I know you read, and just a moment of reflection for you here. You know, when you were in probably high school or middle school or whatnot, you read books about Poseidon and Zeus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I challenge you. Can you name an African god?
Ooh.
When we do the episode, pull up.
I think I know one.
Pull up. Tell me one.
Ocean.
Good job.
Thank you. You know, undisciplined.
Oh, hey. Wow, look at you out here, all multidisciplinary.
You know, I try to be well-rounded.
You know what Ocean loves?
I was about to say money. Water, like honey, love, like
perfume, water, yeah. Honey, yellow flowers.
Yeah. Ooh,
because I bet colors. Because of lemonade, this is why you know this.
Haters are gonna hate. But no.
Oh please. No, I know it's because of Beyonce.
No, it's not. I actually had a girlfriend who wrote me this postcard one time. It was a Michael Jackson postcard. And she just kind of wished me the blessings of Ocean.
Oh.
And so I looked it up at that point. And then when I saw Lemonade, I already had, like, you know, some prior knowledge.
See, if you listen to Lemonade, you need to go back and listen to it, because did you know that it was filled with those? So you might just be listening to music. You don't know
that what you're consuming.
What you're consuming is filled with those kinds of themes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Check it out. Do your research.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for African fiction. And then we're moving on to black horror.
Oh, spooky.
Dun, dun, dun. Insert maniacal laugh. So, but what is black horror? Like, I think.
What are the things that scare black people? Is it different from the things that scare white people? Or
it's the
Asian
sound
people?
Of the police. We ain't scared.
What are
we
the
just
jump?
Smart.
Is it the typical jump scares?
Mm-mm.
Or is it? Have you guys seen Get Out, audience? Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah. So that black horror, and then there's the movie with like all the black folks that go on a vacation together. I can't remember what that one is, but Them is one on Amazon Prime. So watch some of these shows and movies beforehand. Them is an example of black horror. I would even say.
What about the Candyman?
Okay, yeah, because every time I see him in another movie, what is Candyman doing in him?
But he was extra scary, just how his face looked in that movie, the lighting, how that was structured. I don't know.
And she was white woman scared, okay?
But if you were to think about horror from a cultural perspective, we want to hear about that from you. If you are somewhere in Arkansas or in a different state, is there a local lore that scares you? Or if you're in Germany, when I was in Austria studying, there was something called Krampus.
Krampus?
Yeah, Krampus.
Okay.
Krampus was a Christmas scary figure that scared children at Christmas time.
Which is didn't they say that's how we got Old Saint Nick? We just turned them friendly and made money off of them.
Really?
But, you know, it makes sense. I must have got the Krampus story because I have this picture when I was a little girl of me sitting on Santa's lap. And I'm, like, doing the polite lean, just like, who is this guy? Get me off. I do not know him. So, black horror.
Yeah, so it says here, you can see Krampus with the horn. It is a horn anthropomorphic figure who in central an Eastern Alpine folkloric tradition is said to accompany St. Nicholas on visits to children during the night of 5th December, immediately before the feast of St. Nicholas.
Mm.
Yeah, I learned about that while I was in Austria. I was like, oh my God, there is a scary figure.
It's become a new theme, you know, a new like media, new movies and TV shows around black horror. Even the show Lovecraft Country.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Yes. It needs to come back. I need more of that. I love that historical science fiction, magical realism. Mm-hmm. You know, like it is so amazing.
That
to
plays
me.
On our historical themes of kind of segregated geography and what horror means when you might have been caught in the South in a sundown town.
Right.
You know, how that might have been. Imagine black folks traveling back then and they couldn't stop to pee or, you know, get lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
And they knew they couldn't be in certain places at certain time.
Right.
What kind of
fear?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to revisit. We're going to visit that in that episode. Looking forward to that. Please tune into some of those movies and shows if you have not. And that
let's
way,
have
when
a
we
discussion.
Let's have a discussion. Maybe we'll do like a live or something like that. Yeah. You know, be around.
No,
October.
We certainly should do a live about that because I love discussing films. Yeah. And then we're going to be talking about indigenous history as well, right? How the West was won. Mm-hmm. And some of the popular themes that you all grew up on, I grew up on. Mm-hmm. You know, how the West get figured in pop culture, right?
Yeah.
Cowboy, you know, culture, films, you know, Westerns and things like that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's similar to how we were just talking about how, you know, horror and the Black experience is, or the Black experience is being portrayed through horror. And so now, through this episode, How the West Was Won, we're also understanding how society, indigenous history, and how folks were understanding indigenous folks in America through Westerns. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting perspective because I never considered that, you know, Westerns were really mirroring kind of like the zeitgeist, the feelings that we were having around winning the West and expanding and the role that it had on indigenous folks.
And it, I think, you know, this particular episode will help us to understand how powerful stories are.
Yeah.
Look at how we, our imagination has been shaped by stories about the West, the cowboy, John Wayne, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't even know that there were Black cowboys.
For a long time.
About country music and banjo and all of these kinds of things and who was in the West and all of that, you know.
Going back to before Texas was even annexed, baby, okay?
So we want to have a discussion about that because so much of what we consume, as we said, we've talked about music, we've talked about films now, you know, it's kind of inflected with these kinds of things.
And thinking about indigenous history, I do want to explore this Moorish history.
Ooh.
And the assertion, and it's, people are very contentious about the debate that, you know, Black folks were also indigenous folks here prior to the landing of Christopher Columbus.
Please.
And
I don't know where that.
I don't know.
I spoke to my homegirl about that. Like, I've been seeing it pop up on the Twitters.
On the
and I'm like, who started this?
Yeah, so I don't know what to believe, but I'm like, it's a good story.
Next thing we know, in the next 20 years, it's going to be said enough that people think this thing is real. Like, there was no slave trade. And then we're going to be talking about Black artifacts, right?
What
That's
we mean
another
by that?
Way we're going to be getting on discipline, right? We might, you know, we don't just have education or film history or history. We have, you know, anthropology and archaeology, right? Those artifacts tell powerful stories.
What we leave behind, who we were when we were there.
You know?
Yeah.
So if we think about some of the critical images, remember that scene in Black Panther?
Yes.
When Killmonger goes into the museum?
No, this was stolen.
When Killmonger goes into the museum and saw that mask is like, how did you get this mask, sir?
Right, yeah.
Nope, you did not get it legally. Yeah. Right.
And I hope to learn of some Black artifacts maybe that I've seen and haven't, you know, maybe considered as being significant or important because I just see it as like a part of, you know, my Black life. Like those Black paintings of like families and church and the Black paintings of the club scene. Like those are just so...
But
prolific,
you know,
to me.
You know what I love too, Karenicia? When you go into a home, especially like a Black home, there are certain objects, there are certain artifacts that you expect to see that marks it as a Black home. What are some of those objects that you're expected to see in a Black home? I'm not talking about the plastic over the couch now.
I'm done. Please stop that. just put a blanket down or a sheet, please.
I've been hot, Grandma.
Hot. H-A-W-T.
I am sweating on this couch. because he refuses to take the plastic off.
You know, for a while, like, black folks used to have all the same things in our homes. Like, if you had one of them big, giant, overly large TVs that was like 5 foot wide, you was rich, buddy boy. Like, you know, and those same cups with the off trim rim, like it.
Listen, don't play yourself. Don't play yourself because you remember those dishes.
Which ones?
That your grandparents or your parents used to. What are they called?
China.
Well, it was a kind of what are they called? But they used to bake in them and keep food in them, you know. But they blew up
container?
On the eBay market some time ago.
Mm.
Yeah, with the little paintings on the side, the little
okay,
yeah, I don't
like
know
little saucers.
No, they were full
on plates.
Yeah,
huh, I don't know. You gonna have to.
But yeah, they blew up. They blew up, and they were selling for hot money on you know. And you know when your grandma used to keep them in the chest that nobody used them to gather dust there for years.
So when we post this episode, we're gonna post a poll, and we're gonna post some images of black things we had to have in the household or that were common in black households.
Do you have an MLK picture in the house? We want to know. Do you have a black Jesus?
Yes, yes.
Photo. And depending on whatever household you come from, if you're Irish or, you know, you're Italian, we want to know some of the things in your house.
Tell us.
Maybe you thought you were rich when when you were growing up because you had this in your house.
Those cinnamon brooms. Why did we all have them cinnamon brooms for years? Like, they just lost all their smell and just sitting there. But yes, so we're going to post some artifacts, and we want y'all to post artifacts. Let's have a sharing information and culture about some of the things in which how our culture has shaped how we live in our households and our family lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I could talk about that for years about, you know, all the outdated stuff that we don't really do anymore.
Yeah. We had the same blankets for a while. It was wild out here. The same head post on the bed. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking
Not
about.
Everybody
the
got that
head post.
Cushy bat board.
That's me. I got it.
Oh, my goodness. And then we're going to be talking about medicine and epidemiology and public health.
Yeah.
What are the things that are a threat to public health?
Semaglutide. I'm just kidding. No shade. If you
I
are,
need you
no
to
shade.
Be at but your big age.
I'm sorry. But that's popping in the scene right now. Like, you know, folks who need the medicine apparently can't get it because the folks who are using it to...
Oh, you mean Ozempic?
Oh, wait, Ozempic.
Please call
that's
it
not,
by
no,
street
right.
Name.
You're right. You're right. There's a difference between semaglutide and Ozempic. So maybe we'll get into that so you'll have the understanding too.
Yeah.
But yeah, public health, you know, health is wealth, right?
Yep.
You know, and
Some of the things that we don't traditionally think are a threat. Well, when we talk about public health, we probably think about our recent pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about COVID.
They say monkeypox is back.
Child, yes.
Shit.
And, you know, and AIDS and remember when Ebola was out?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ebola?
I just knew I was going to get Ebola. I was like, what is this nonsense?
Lord.
But did we also know that police shootings was a public health
public
crisis.
Health
you know things like
message.
That message you know
you got to reconsider you
yes
know? Become undisciplined. What is a public health and hazard to people's living,
you know,
that we don't consider as being medicine but yet is obviously impacting our mortality?
Yeah. And even issues of racial resentment is a public health crisis.
Yeah, because kind of like that mental, like,
how people vote against their own interests because of that history, that deep history of...
Yeah, true.
I'm thinking about Jonathan Metzl, who was at Vanderbilt. His book,
Sociological
Dying of Whiteness.
Perspective of health.
You know, how the politics of racial resentment is killing the American heartland, you know? Mm. So we have to think about those kinds of issues that people are thinking about in the centers for medicine, health, and society in different universities,
so
how they're considering.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, those kinds of issues in these kinds of charged, divided environment, how we're not living up to our optimal health.
Yeah, as
you
a
know,
nation.
We don't, I mean, we don't, the kind of healthcare, like one little illness here, you go bankrupt here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's so sad.
You know, and I mean, we've had these discussion and all of that about, you know, and various people are putting out, you know, different plans about what should be done. But, you know, people are really studying things like that about, you know, suicides.
Yeah.
You know, the sense of loneliness and isolation.
Yes.
Public health
issue. As a threat to public health.
You know?
That's so good. That's such a very needed perspective of understanding. And maybe it will really encourage us to make some more changes and to do some more of the work.
It will lead us to ask questions that we've been talking about on this podcast. Questions
for
about
sure.
the hyper-individualism, right? Is it really helpful for us if people are getting lonely and it's causing some of these other issues?
Yeah.
But we'll talk to the experts. Yeah. We want to give you the insight into what they're doing, what's popping in their labs, what's popping in their research, what the community organizers are talking about, what's hot on the street, you know.
And
what
if
mean?
You find and if from that conversation you're inspired and you hear something, you start to think of something else, pop it in the chat.
Yes.
You know, come chat with us and tell us what you think about
the wordy professor
on the gram
and the forgetful historian.
The forgetful historian.
Yes.
We are really excited for this season. Mm-hmm. And so following that episode, we're going to wrap up and just kind of conclude. And
that's where
debrief.
We'll address a lot of your questions too, you know. So we want you to get them in as soon as you can.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we'll interact with you on the gram and on X, you know. But we'll definitely, in that wrap-up episode before we depart for season 7 and look forward to season 8, you know, bring in some of the notable comments and ideas and things that you guys have shared with us, because, you know, it takes a community and it takes all of us to be in this world and to contribute to it and to contribute to its
and your
prosperity.
Your voice is very important as well, right? Your views, we want to hear it. Mm-hmm. We want to think about what you got to say. Mm-hmm. We want to make this a dialogue.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to hearing from you, and we want to get undisciplined with
Let's get undisciplined.
That's right. So thank you for...
We're doing some healing work here.
That is right.
We're doing
that
some
is
healing
right.
work.
You know?
Yeah.
We're breakers of the void. So we look forward to this, being in the season with you, having this conversation, and growing together. So
we'll see you over the season 7, family. Holla at us.
See you on the other side. Thank you for listening to another riveting episode of Undisciplined. This episode was hosted by Karee Banton and Carnesia Connor. It was produced by Leah Grant. Undisciplined is a collaboration between the African-American Studies Program at the University of Arkansas and KUAF. It is available every other Wednesday at KUAF, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow the African and African American Studies Program and the Undisciplined Podcast on Instagram at UARK_AAST or visit KUAF.com to listen to all episodes.
If you like today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts and rate us.